Good evening. We've been working our way through these gospel misunderstandings in the gospel. Well, they're not in the gospel. They're about the gospel. People misunderstand some things, and they're unbiblical misunderstandings, because if you check what the Bible says and go only by that, you wouldn't have any misunderstandings about it. Let's take just a moment to review a little bit, and then we'll get into the next part. But this will be, we've gone through six parts, and this is the seventh, and then we'll have roughly 12 or 13 to go. Not tonight. In Thessalonica, and you can read about Thessalonica in the Bible there, and in 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, Acts 17. But in Thessalonica, when Paul went there, he preached the gospel of God. And that's a specific gospel by a specific name, given by God, inspired by God. That was in Acts 17, verses 1 through 4. But the apostate Jews running the synagogue rebelled, and they ran Paul out of town before he could preach to them the gospel of Christ, the gospel of God. Those believers in the gospel of God had faith in the gospel of God. They believed what it said, that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead. They believed that. And that was what they were called on to do as a nation. But the nation didn't. Just those few believers, that remnant. Well, Paul had to leave town. He sent back Timothy, his fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, back to Thessalonica to minister the gospel of Christ to those gospel of God believers, to establish them. And we'll get into what it means to be established, but that's the first part of establishment, is to be saved, to get to hear and believe the gospel of salvation. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, Paul had been distressed and afflicted until he heard back from Timothy that the Thessalonian the ones that had believed the gospel of God came to believe the gospel of salvation, that Timothy ministered unto them, the gospel of Christ. Let's look at those verses before we get into tonight's lesson. This two verses here, 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 6 and 7. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, greatly desiring to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. So he heard back from Timothy that they did have faith in the gospel of Christ, the gospel of salvation. They were saved now. So, let's look tonight, we'll start at least with finding out what the Bible says about being set apart, about salvation, and about being established, stabilized. Paul had taken, assumed is not a good word, because it's got kind of a double meaning, but he had taken on God's will as his own will. He had, can't think of any other way to say it. He had assumed God's will as his own. And let's look at 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. Who will have, talking about God, who will have all men to be saved. You see that word W-I-L-L in there? It's God's will. It's what he wants to have happen. Now, God, you know, you talk to man believers and instead of Bible believers, and a lot of them will tell you that whatever God wants, he's going to enforce, he's going to make sure he gets. Well, You know, read Matthew 23:37 about that. What was man's will and what was God's will and what God allowed. He allowed man to have his will, his own will. Leviticus 1:3. Let's go on though. 1 Timothy 2:4. God will have all men to be saved and, so following salvation, for them to come unto the knowledge of the truth. In other words, edification, maturity, growing. And there's a specific way that the Bible tells us that that occurs. Paul preached the gospel of God to the Jews and the Greeks at Thessalonica, and some of them believed it. They believed the gospel of God. Then Timothy preached the gospel of Christ to those gospel of God believers at Thessalonica, and some of them believed it. Believed the gospel of Christ, the salvation gospel. Then, when Paul heard of their faith in the gospel of Christ, he prayed that he might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Well, you would think, you know, that that would be prayed for before they, you know, after they had heard the gospel of God and before they heard and believed the gospel of salvation. But that's not where it is. It's after they had become saved. That he might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. That's Paul and his preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. That they would be established by an understanding of who they are in Christ. Christ in you. That's the working out of what Paul said to the Romans in Romans 1:11-12. For I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. That's the goal of that spiritual gift. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith of you and me. So, Paul had a faith, they had a faith. Romans 1:8, the Romans had a faith, but it was faith in the gospel of God. Romans 1:8, first I thank God, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. So, from that point, Paul wanted to establish them in the gospel of Christ. And further their edification, as Romans, you know, you can read through the what comes after salvation in Romans 6:7-8. Let's review the whole process there. It's the Bible gives it great detail, and we should too, I believe. It's beneficial to us in our edification. The entire process at Thessalonica. Let's start in 1 Thessalonians 1:5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Now, people sometimes take this and run with it and as if it was a standalone verse, but in Acts 18, when Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians 1:5, the verse we just read, using the term our gospel, he was looking back to Thessalonica after both Paul's preaching of the gospel of God in Acts 17:3 had been believed and after Timothy's preaching of the gospel of Christ in 1 Thessalonians 3:2-7 had been believed to establish them. After both of those, they had heard all of that preaching. That's when Paul writes and says, our gospel came not unto you in word only. And that's why he says our, because often he'll say my gospel. But Timothy was preaching the same gospel. Timothy had claimed salvation by that gospel. And it was his gospel too now. it wasn't Timothy's in the sense that God revealed it, an unrevealed mystery to Timothy. He revealed it to Paul, and to Paul only. Paul trained others, those things that you've heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who will be able to teach others also. So by Acts 18, chapter 18, when Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians, Paul knew the facts that he wrote about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. He knew that they in Thessalonica had believed, some of them, you know, the ones that heard and believed the gospel of God. That gospel of Christ, which Timothy had preached to them. When Paul sent him 4 verses earlier in 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 and 2. And those believers were naturally saved by the gospel of Christ then, when they believed it. But not earlier, not in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, not in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, when Paul writes about what he had preached to them in verse chapter 1. Well, no, that's in chapter 2, verse 1. Excuse me. Chapter 2, verse 2, chapter 2, verse 8, and chapter 2, verse 9. Three times there he emphasizes that he preached unto them the gospel of God. And it's just wrong to say that, well, of course, he preached Paul, he's the great one carrying the mystery to the Gentiles. He would have preached the gospel of Christ to them if he had the opportunity. Well, he didn't have the opportunity. He got run out of town. And that's how we know in other epistles, other places, what was the mode of operation, that he went and he preached the gospel of God, because that was a big hill to get over for Israel. They had just crucified Jesus not these ones in Thessalonica, but that group had rejected Jesus as being the Messiah. They believed he was a fake, and they had crucified him. So for Paul to come in and preach that he's not a fake, he's the Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead. It took, you know, a lot more probably than three Sabbath meetings to convince many of them. But when Paul first sat down to start writing 1 Thessalonians, first chapter, verse 1, you can find things that, in verse 1 and verse 5 that you understand better when you realize that he already knew that the Thessalonians had believed not only the gospel of God preached by Paul in Thessalonica, but also our gospel, they called it, the gospel of Christ, preached to them by Timothy under Paul's direction, Paul's fellow laboring, and under Paul's sending. You can see that in 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 to 7. Excuse me just a minute there. There is a rumor, I guess you could call it. It's not factual, but it's a supposition that the dispensation of the grace of God was proclaimed before Acts 20. There is no record of that in the Bible. It's made up. People make that up for some reason. I don't know. I think it fits in with other misunderstood doctrines that they hold to. But let's look at some of the verses that Paul wrote to saved people in Thessalonica. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. sanctification of the Spirit, setting apart unto God. In other words, that's what the gospel of God does. Those that did not believe the gospel of God were not set apart unto God. They crucified the Lord. And those that did, and they chased Paul out of Thessalonica. But those that did believe the gospel of God were set apart. They were set apart, you can read in Romans 15 of Romans, verse 16, that the gospel of God sets people apart to hear and believe the gospel of salvation. They were sanctified of the Spirit. But additionally, it says, and belief of the truth. The truth of the gospel. Colossians 1, 4-6 calls that gospel the word of truth. Word of the truth of the gospel. And they believed it. So, well, let me, without comment, as much comment, let me go back and read that verse again. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. You can see the two stages there. Verse 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ in you. A saved people. Okay. And notice that Paul said from the beginning, not from the beginning of the dispensation of the grace of God. In 2 Thessalonians 2:14, Paul did say from the beginning, meaning Ephesians 1 verse 4 and verse 18. Let's look at those verses, but we'll also look at a couple more verses in Romans 8, 29 and 30. First, and we're looking for what Paul said about the beginning. Did he mean the beginning of the dispensation of the grace of God when Paul began to be sent to all people? Or did he mean something else? Ephesians 1:4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Pardon me. Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. He didn't predestinate willy-nilly. He predestined those that he foreknew the outcome. He foreknew what their choice would be. Though, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Again, God did the calling. Not Paul, not Paul's gospel. God called them by Paul's gospel, our gospel, he's calling it. But it was God doing the calling. The gospel of God alone does not put anyone in the kingdom. The gospel of God alone does not put anyone in heavenly places. It identifies who Jesus is, that they were made able to hear and believe the gospel of the kingdom, or made able to hear and believe the gospel of Christ. Whichever gospel they heard and were called through and believed at that time. Let me repeat. At that time, in that narrow space of time there, those, I think, four chapters it is, during a dispensation of the gospel of Christ, before Israel's diminishing ended in Acts 28. So that that's something to realize, you know, that the gospel of the grace of God was not mentioned in the Bible before Acts 20. And really, that's a large part of what the difference is between the Acts period epistles and the later post-Acts period epistles of Paul, anyway. There is no salvation in the gospel of God alone. We've read it before. We're going to read it here in just a minute. But there is no salvation in the gospel of God alone. You can read it and see. You can turn in your own Bible, if it's a King James, Romans 1, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And he's still talking about the gospel of God that he mentioned before there, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. And notice he called him not just Jesus, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. But he adds Christ there, Christ being the Greek form of Messiah, Greek form of the word Messiah. Concerning his Son, Jesus, so right off the bat he calls him the Son of God, Jesus, Christ the Messiah, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God, again, with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. And that's the third element of the gospel of God. Nothing in there, though, nothing in that those four verses promises thou shalt be saved or to eternal life, to life everlasting. There's nothing like that connected with the gospel of God. It enables the gospel of salvation in the mystery of Christ, but the gospel of God alone does not save anyone. There are verses that Paul preaches, they say that Paul preached the gospel of Christ and that salvation in Thessalonica. That's not right. I'm reading my notes wrong because that just doesn't work. Let me go back over this. I'm third, I guess. I missed the word no in my notes. There are no verses, and let me emphasize the word no. There are no verses saying that Paul preached the gospel of Christ's salvation in Thessalonica before Timothy was sent in 1 Thessalonians 3, 1 and 2. So that's in line then with what we had read in the scriptures, that he got thrown out of town after he preached in Thessalonica, preached the gospel of God. They wouldn't even accept that Jesus was the Messiah. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul tells that the Thessalonians got saved. But Paul does not say that it was his Acts 17 preaching that saved them. In 1 Thessalonians 3, 6, and 7, Paul was relieved to hear that they did exercise faith in the gospel of Christ that Timothy preached to them in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2 it was. Paul was relieved. He knew of their faith in the gospel of God, but he had not previously known of their faith in the gospel of Christ for salvation. Some people try to say that Paul described his gospel of salvation, his salvation gospel, as the good news of God being the gospel of God. Well, in other words, they're trying to twist the words around to make it into, make the title of that salvation gospel to be the gospel of God, to blur the distinction. That contradicts what Paul wrote and preached. They try to relabel the Old Testament prophecies even about God's redemption and call that the gospel of God. Well, the Bible doesn't call it that. The gospel of God is nowhere titled as such in the Old Testament. You can find the elements of it, that the Son of God... Thou shalt not leave my... I will... What is it? Thy son in hell. In hell. Yeah, that's... What is it? 16:10? Psalm 16:10? I can't find my poster here. Let me just look it up. Psalms. I'm not sure if that's the right verse or not. Yes, it is. Well, here, okay, he calls him thy holy one. Let me just look back here a little bit. No. But he is called the Son in the Old Testament. Unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born. That's what Isaiah 14:12, or is it Isaiah 7? I'm looking, hold on just a second. No, that's the one about, not doing too well tonight, huh? I'll tell you what, the Bible is right. I just can't find the verse. But, there it is. Thank you, Nathan Hale. 9:6. And that should be emblazoned in my memory. My memory, what was my memory anyway? Jesus is called the Everlasting Father. That's right. As well as unto us a Son is given. So, and that supports the Godhead, that there are three that are one, and there is one that is three. So, and I don't need to call it by the Roman name. Bible calls it the Godhead. So, but these, the detractors, they try to relabel the gospel of the grace of God as the gospel of God, so as to ignore 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 2, 8, and 9, about the gospel of God being what Paul had been able to preach in Thessalonica in Acts 17, verses 1 to 10, before he was expelled from the town. So, let's go on. The gospel of God is more specific than the mere former prophecies in the Old Testament. Paul's gospel of Christ is never described as a progressive continuation of the gospel of God. That's merely a private interpretation used by some people to keep the theory that it was Paul that preached the salvation message in Thessalonica, instead of them hearing it later for the first time from Timothy in 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 through 7. They want, for some reason, to believe that Paul was sent to all people, not just to the Jew first and also to the Greek, right from the start in Acts 9, instead of when the scriptures indicate it was in Acts 20. Paul was not sent to preach to all men before Acts 20. You can't find all Gentiles being preached to. He says the Gentiles, but the Gentiles that he's talking about are described in Acts 13:26, or Gentiles from whom God has to deliver Paul in Acts 26:17. Or it's not even ascending in Acts 9:15. It's just a description of what's going to happen in Paul's lifetime. It's like a pre-biography. Then he would be sent to Gentiles, kings, and children of Israel. Whether Paul actually preached to all types of men, Gentiles, Greeks, Jews, alien Gentiles, whether he actually preached to them or not is irrelevant. What counts is who he was sent to, who God said to go to. Remember, the sending of God is not a restriction. It's a charge. A good meaning, a double meaning in that word. He charged Paul, or committed it to Paul, to charge into Israel to get these Jews and Greeks to see that, you know, without changing yet who the audience is from the Old Testament, actually, the Jews and the Greeks there, a mixed multitude that came out with Moses, that was the Greeks, that was similar to Greeks. They were ones that blessed God and believed Israel's covenants was the way God was working in the world. So, Ephesians 3:8 and Acts 20:24 both show the same thing there. I guess if I can find my poster again, I'll read those. It's hidden here. I found it. Let's look at first at Acts 20, verse 24. Acts 20 and verse 24. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. Something else here. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You couldn't prove from that this was the first time it was mentioned, but going through the scriptures chronologically, this is the first time it shows up. And it does it does fit with the understanding that he might finish his course with joy. And this new ministry, you could almost substitute the word new in there, but we won't. We'll keep the Bible the way it is. But that's the sense that you get from it. It's something else that God charged him with, to testify the gospel of the grace of God, which was to all men. So Paul, his gospel, the gospel given to Paul to preach, and by which Paul was saved, the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God, that is not the capstone of progressive revelation. It's not the final installment of progressive revelation. It's not even, it's not just further information in the previous program. Do you see what I'm saying? It is different, yes, but it's not a continuation or an extension of what Israel had been given. It's new revelation of a new pattern of dispensing God's salvation to mankind. The gospel of the grace of God is a continuation of the gospel of Christ, yes, but it's not a continuation of the gospel of God, facts about who Jesus is. The gospel of God was not a gospel of salvation. The continuation of God's progressive revelation is going to be Israel's kingdom out of heaven in the future. Well, let's go on to another unbiblical misunderstanding that's prevalent. The gospel of God, we find that it's preached before the gospel of Christ is preached, and that is preached before the gospel of the grace of God. There are some people that try to say that my gospel, and that's a quote from the scripture, Paul uses it at least three times regarding the gospel of salvation. Some people try to say that my gospel was limited to the gospel of the grace of God in the dispensation of the grace of God. But as soon as you start to talk to them about the biblical usage of the gospel of Christ, they try to change the subject. They want to change it to the gospel of the grace of God, as if they are trying to ignore the gospel of Christ. Again, I've said it many times, the gospel of the grace of God is mentioned one time by Paul in Paul's writings or in Acts, sermons or writings. The gospel of Christ is mentioned 11 times. Let's not ignore what God has put emphasis on. It was good for that period, for that time, but we can't understand that time if we think it's the same as the time that came after it that we're in now, the dispensation of the grace of God. Both had the same gospel message. It's just that the audience was different, so God changed the name of the gospel from the gospel of Christ to the gospel of the grace of God. But they both, believers in either gospel, leads into the gospel of, into the body of Christ, excuse me. That's why there was a difference there, a vast difference in the behavior and the habits, for instance, eating habits of those Greeks that were getting along well with the Jews and not offending them by what they ate or anything. And then in come these alien Gentiles that never, you know, hadn't heard about God or Israel, didn't care about any covenants God had made with Israel or anything like that. And they hear the gospel of the grace of God and are saved into the same body of Christ. Yeah, there's turbulence or confluence, I guess you call it. Ephesians chapter 4, I think it is, verse 3. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Is that it? Let me get it exact. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Allow yourselves to be bound by being peaceable toward each other. The Spirit can do that in you. Keep that unity. So, Paul did not preach a prophesied gospel for salvation. You can look throughout the Old Testament and all the way up to the crucifixion, actually past the crucifixion, past Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, into early Acts, all the way up through Acts 8, and you'll never find the Bible saying that if you believe Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again, you are saved. There is talk of being saved. There's talk of, what is it, Romans 5, 8, and 9, both use the same term there. Let me just get it right. It says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's not it. 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved. Not are saved, but shall be saved. Well, we know that we are saved too. at the time of your belief, you are saved. And we know that because of other verses Paul gave us. I like especially Ephesians 2, verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. There's no wiggle room there. We're saved. Not just waiting to be saved, not just shall be saved, even though when the tribulation is about to come, we shall be saved out of it. From it. You got to use the right words because they have meaning. We'll be saved from it by the catching up. Israel, it says in Jeremiah 30, verse 7, they will be saved out of it. They get into it. They have to be in the tribulation because God says, I will not leave Israel wholly unpunished. All their strayings, what is it? Confederacy. Their truce making with nations they shouldn't have been partners with, or what is the unequal yoked with. That's what I was trying to think of. So, Paul did preach a prophesied gospel, just not for salvation. In other words, he preached that there would be a Messiah, a Christ that came, that would come. Daniel 9 preaches about a Christ coming, being cut off. He preaches about the resurrection. Even Job talks about the revelation, resurrection, pardon me. Job, I think it's 19:25, isn't it, in the verses surrounding there. Paul did not preach more than one gospel message for salvation. You know, from the time he was saved till the time he died, going through the two dispensations there, he still never preached more than one gospel message for salvation. One content. The content of the gospels were the same. The gospel of Christ and the gospel of the grace of God. Now, the gospel of God was different. It was not a salvation message. Paul did preach more than one gospel message, just not one, more than one gospel message for salvation. Okay? Paul preached the gospel of God, and I can, I know y'all are aware of this, but there may be some that'll listen to a recording of this. Let me just list the verses. We don't have to read through them. I've got about four references for each of these four gospels. Paul preached the gospel of God in Romans 1:1-4, Acts 9, verses 20, 22, and 27, Acts 17, verses 2 and 3, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 2, 8, and 9. That's the gospel of God. Paul also preached the gospel of Christ in Romans 1:15 and 16, Romans 2:16, Romans 15:29, and Romans 16:25. Also in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 18, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 14, and 2 Timothy 2, verses 8 to 10. That's the gospel of Christ. Paul also preached the gospel of the uncircumcision, a single verse for that, that's Galatians 2:7. And Paul also preached the gospel of the grace of God in Acts 20:24, Ephesians 3:8, and Colossians 1:3-6. The one in Ephesians 3:8, gospel of the grace of God, I'm trying to think. He mentions that the dispensation of the grace of God. When you dispense something, you give out news about it, right? You give out a tract or a Bible, you're dispensing it. Well, when Paul dispensed the good news, that was the dispensation of the grace of God, the giving out of the gospel of the grace of God. There is a connection there, in other words. And that's in Ephesians 3:2, so Ephesians 3:8 is still on the subject. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Romans 1:16 is still in my King James Bible. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Qualifier? To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So, there was something I wanted to bring out here. The gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It'll come back to me. To the Jew first and to the Greek does not mean to all men. Some of the people that oppose these verses and don't want to accept what they're saying, they'll say that the Greeks are all Gentiles. Greeks or Gentiles is interchangeable, they'll say. The gospel to all men came later in Scripture. not in Romans. Actually, it came three verses after Romans was written. In Romans written in Acts 20, verse 3, and Paul's sending was in Acts 20, verse 6, according to Philippians 4:15. Let's talk about when our gospel of salvation, the gospel that by which we can be saved, when did it begin? Some people understand what we Bible believers say that the Bible teaches, and some misunderstand it. And that's why we're trying to clarify these things. It's all about these unbiblical misunderstandings. They seem to think that we're saying that Paul did not preach the mystery of salvation until Acts 18, verse 22. But no, that was just Christ revealing his future wider sending of Paul. Acts 18:22 is when the temple vision occurred that he talks about in Acts 22:17-21. Paul's salvation gospel, it began with his gospel, his salvation, his being saved by Christ as an unforgivable, unsavable person in Israel's doctrine, the only doctrine there was at that time. It was in Acts 9 on the road to Damascus. Paul's preaching of Christ and the salvation pattern that Christ started, it was first recorded no earlier than Acts chapter 13, verse 14, the beginning of that lesson, that message to Antioch of Pisidia, to the synagogue there. So that's when Paul's preaching of Christ's pattern, salvation pattern, was first recorded to have been preached. Okay. The gospel of Christ, before the gospel of the grace of God, the earliest inspired writing that I can find naming the gospel of Christ is in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. I marvel. Just a moment, please. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. I get the sense that he's not saying that Peter preached Peter's gospel there to those people that Paul had preached to in the Galatian circuit there. I get the feeling that Paul preached to those he was supposed to, Peter preached to those that he was supposed to, but there were certain others that came in after and tried to apply Peter's gospel to Paul's preaching. And so, you know, there was no confrontation, like, why were you preaching to my people when Paul went to Jerusalem in Acts 15, and Peter was there. He met him and talked to him. They talked privately, it says, in Galatians 2, verse 2, I think it is, or 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. That would be the same gospel that Paul referred to in Galatians 2, verse 7, as occurring in Acts 15, in that clarification meeting of those from the two groups of churches. There, Paul called his gospel the gospel of the uncircumcision. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. The earliest inspired writing that I can find naming the gospel of the grace of God is in Acts 20:24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto me myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the gospel of God, shall see my face no more. Excuse me, I missed a word there. And now, this is Acts 20:25. And now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. That's not talking about a kingdom coming from heaven. It's talking about God's overall kingdom, his overall rulership in the universe, his kingdom. That we're all, well, not all, disbelievers aren't, but all of us body of Christ believers are. The Galatians 1, verses 6 and 7, gospel of Christ, appears in Acts 15 in that time period before the later gospel of the grace of God appears in Acts 20. They are in a series, one after the other, rather than being parallel gospels at the same time. Both of those gospels are within the one body of Christ. And again, the gospel content was the same in the gospel of Christ as it was in the gospel of grace of the grace of God as it was in the gospel of the uncircumcision. Well, that's all I've got in the seventh part here. So we're going to stop, and if there are questions, post them.